Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Defense! All the hard work, let's go!
College football today.
We are back in action with four great bowl games today. Welcome to College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI. Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, and Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk. Going to kick it around for the next 3 hours. We're going to talk bowl games Saturday, December 22nd, all the way through next Friday. We'll get you set for all your kickoffs and tailgates. Keep it where it is each and every Saturday. Guys, I mean, we saw BYU step up yesterday in the bowl game. I mean, a school record for Zach Wilson, 18 straight completions, dominating Western Michigan in that ball game. Didn't set the FBS record, but it's, for the most part, been a favorite fest. Joey Chalk is riding a brand new Cadillac with all these favorites covering.
Yeah, the dogs aren't barking. The dogs,
no, not
have,
yet.
They have fleas this bowl season. You know, it's funny. Joe and I, we were on a call yesterday during halftime of that famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
10-7 at half.
10-7 at half. And one of the things we talked about was, I remember saying to you, that Zach Wilson kid looks sharp. He winds up 18 for 18. And big picture for me is maybe, just maybe, the kid's a freshman. Maybe BYU has a quarterback that Kalani Sitake can build around, because it's been a long time since they've been able to stretch defenses, really take advantage of opposing secondaries. That kid looked very sharp. I don't want to overstate it. It was the Western Michigan defense, but BYU and Sitake needs more from their quarterbacks, and he looked very good yesterday.
Yeah, great point. I mean, Tanner Mangum did come in the second half, led a touchdown drive. He was the starter last year, was the starter this year, and happy for the kid that he went out in style leading a touchdown drive. And BYU, for the most part, Rich, to your point, only averaged around 199 passing yards over the last couple of years. That's not going to get it done, especially when you play the type of schedule that BYU does, being an independent. So we'll see how it plays out for them in 2019. They have a good group of core players like Zach Wilson that they can build upon. The other game that was very impressive to me was Butch Davis getting it done with a backup quarterback. James Morgan was out, guys. Gabe, I mean, FIU stepped up. They got the win over Toledo. We know that Vegas was on the Rockets, but FIU stepped up in a big way and got a three-point win in the Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah, I was on FIU, and they're only of one of two underdogs to cover so far during this bowl season. You know, a lot of people abandoned ship with FIU, or we should say jumped on Toledo in this football game when they heard that James Morgan was going to be out. Yet I thought it was a little bit of an overreaction. Listen, the fact of the matter is the MAC just isn't a very good conference, all right? I hate to be cruel here, but they usually get their ass handed to them in bowl games. And it's funny, too, because we spoke to some when Michelle Serpico's boyfriend was actually at Atlantis.
Was he yesterday? Really?
So I got a real weather report. All the talk of the rain and the wind. He goes, it ain't raining. He goes, it's been sunny. But he goes, it is very, very windy. But this is why, you know, sometimes too much information doesn't matter. He said, I'll tell you what, bet on Toledo, Gabe. He goes, I've seen Florida International players in a casino drinking and gambling every night. Did it really matter? No. You know what I mean? They were there to enjoy themselves. I'm not saying they were, like, getting stupid and stuff. The kids that were of age were in a casino. But we stepped up. Nice win for Butch Davis yesterday. Although, I do like a MAC team a little bit later on. I think Buffalo is a little bit different than your typical MAC team. I think they got some NFL talent on that team. I like Buffalo later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that game. They do play Troy in that bowl matchup. Should be a
big battle. The old MAC Sunbelt throwdown, right?
Lance Leopold, or they call him Leopold. You know, but he's done a fantastic job with the Bulls. The other thing that I noticed in terms of the ball game, you mentioned FIU winning that ball game as an underdog. They were the only team now to win as an underdog. Yeah. Eastern Michigan had an opportunity to knock off Georgia Southern. They pushed it to the limit and lost with a last.
That might have been the best bowl game so far.
I think so.
It's a crazy sound. You figure, oh, Eastern Michigan sound. I don't know if you guys saw the ending. Like, man, it was emotional.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Eastern Michigan, they desperately wanted to get that bowl win. They haven't won a bowl in, like, 38 years or something like that. They were so freaking close. They go for two. They get it. The emotion. And then the composure of Georgia Southern to go right back down the field. And
with an offense that's run-based. Yeah. I mean, that's not an offense that you
That was a great football game.
That's not a two-minute offense.
Like to your typical person, it's like, ah, who cares, Georgia Southern, Eastern Michigan. These kids were in tears after.
We said that last weekend.
Teams were crying. Like, Eastern Michigan players were distraught. Yeah. The Georgia Southern kids were crying.
Yeah.
You know, one of the kids was talking about being homeless and winning a bowl game. Like, people don't realize the background of some of these kids, right?
Yeah, no, last weekend we talked about how the opening weekend was amongst our favorite because you don't have top 25 teams like Florida, Georgia.
The teams care.
You know, I mean, it's a good game, I guess. But
listen, a guy on Michigan, is he worried about beating Florida? Is he thinking about the combine? Is he thinking about a bigger picture?
And we've even seen like Caron Higdon now is the latest Wolverine to announce that he's not going to play in the game.
Bush is gone.
Gary's gone. Aubrey Solomon.
Positive news, though. Patterson
transferred to Tennessee.
Shea Patterson announces that he's going to be returning next year.
Yeah, smart move.
Yeah, he'll be one of the top quarterbacks, you know, taken. I guess the thing, too, and we saw a lot of movement in terms of that on there because there is too much information. That over was around 64, 65. They hammered it down to around 52 by game time, and that's what you have to see as well as in terms of motivation, which teams have depth.
I know, but, Joe, we talk about this every bowl season, and we're all trying to pretend we're Fraser Crane. We don't know. How do I know?
Right. No, you don't.
Unless your boy Bowden's there and you can call him, Joe. How's your team? I don't know. FIU, they're here on a vacation.
Yeah, even with that information, you never know what's going to happen. You could think the team's prepared in a particular week. One turnover. Look at that turnover against FIU to open the game. Now, they had the resolve, but I credit a lot of that to Butch Davis for having his team prepare because you look at the flip side with Charlie Strong in that bowl game against Marshall, one turnover down to the 1 yard line, that team crumbled at home. And we're going to see another home team in Hawaii tonight take on La Tech. That's where I see a little bit of a difference because Hawaii, to me, is a team that likes playing in their bowl game. They take it with pride. They're 4-3 overall. So you don't know how to measure it team to team.
Listen, it's guesswork. It's guesswork. We talk with Jamie Heath about this a lot of times. We'll talk to him in the second segment today. A lot of times, you know, you want to be Fraser Crane, but you don't know. I mean, like I don't know Temple. We're going to talk about Temple Duke. Temple, you know, do they miss Jeff Collins, or are they rallying for Ed Foley?
Guys, the team could be flat. They come out, get a pick six, fumble return. They're up 14-0. Suddenly they're not so flat. They're like, hey, let's win this. Let's go.
And the whole dynamic changes.
You know, you're right. You really don't know. What I do with these bowl games, I rely on past conference performances. It seems to repeat itself. Guys, you know, Pac-12 struggles. Mac doesn't win. Mac's a good conference in a regular season. They'll cover numbers. They'll even beat some Big Ten teams, etc. They don't do well in bowls.
Yeah,
they don't do well in bowls.
It's interesting.
See, I fade the action too. Like I'll fade it. Like, but I think picking later as the week progresses. Yeah. Like seeing like Saturday now here. Now I feel confident about these games today. But we don't know because Greg Dortch is out for Wake Forest. Darrell Henderson's out. Which player is going to be missed more by that offense? Mm-hmm. We won't know until open.
One thing from a betting perspective, I've noticed, guys, through the first. I think there's been 10 bowl games now. Yeah. It's 8-2, favorites 8-2. One thing I've noticed though, the line movement has been correct. Like when you're talking about the Gasparilla Bowl, this isn't Johnny Public betting a $10 bet. I'm going to kick back and have a couple of beers, watch a bowl game and put $10 on this game. These are the guys in Vegas. This is Krakenberger, Warren Sharp, and these guys dropping five dimes, 10 dimes on a total. You've seen the numbers go in these bowl games. It's not public betting. The public jumps in an hour before the game. Hey, what's on TV? I'm going to jump in. The live movement has been correct. What's amazing, though, guys, the total opened up in the FIU. This is amazing. The total opened up, FIU and Toledo, 66.5. Bahamas Bowl, always the high-scoring one. Because of the weather reports, got bet down all the way to 57. What did it end up closing at?
Over.
67.
Yeah.
The original number was bang on through the weather. And I think sometimes, it's windy. Yeah. It's talking about kids from FIU that play in monsoons. That's what they practice in. You're talking about kids from Toledo that grew up in cold weather. Oh, it's a little windy in the Bahamas. They ended up putting up 67 points. Yeah. Today, the interesting one, guys, is Army. Because I got to tell you, if I was an Army recruiter right now, I'd be walking the streets of America because there's not a man in America that doesn't seem to love Army today.
Yeah.
Everyone's betting on Army. Hey, what do you sign up to? Like, I can't, you know, you can't walk 2 feet without someone telling you I'm laying it down big on Army today. Yeah. And the spread's now up to 6.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, a lot has to do with the quarterback situation with King being out and Tune, you know, being
King,
a freshman.
King, I think, is more important even than Ed Oliver. Yeah. I think all of us, I think Ed Oliver not playing this game was built in. This was baked into the Houston Army.
He hasn't played in a while.
But yeah, Derek King, I mean, and King we knew, but Clayton Tune did not impress late in the season. Right. And Army's hot. I mean, Monken is hot. That's just a hot commodity right now.
Great point. I mean, here's the one thing I think that you could see and that you could bank on. Now, we don't know and you can't split hairs about what to expect when these games play out. But if you do have a young, inexperienced quarterback like Clayton Tune, the extra weeks of preparation will certainly benefit him heading into the bowl game.
It should,
You're not going to get, I want to say, King-type of numbers.
Hey, but look, Joe, you dropped the Alexander kid on the field the other day.
Well, Alexander, but Alexander, though, was
he's
a
been
junior.
Been there 4 years, redshirt junior.
The starting job. He almost knocked out James Morgan, so he's more of an experienced quarterback. When you have a freshman kid that hasn't played and his first game was thrown into the conference championship game, now the 3 weeks of preparation, that's a big benefit in terms of reading coverage and breaking down
defenses. Just talked about it, Joe. Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Prime example. Now Wilson was thrown into the mix midseason. You know, he had a bunch of starts, so it's not like he was a newcomer, but it was that 1 week preparation, you know, watch film, prepare for that next opponent. Not like this. This is almost an entire month of preparation for one opponent with the coaches, working with your QB coach, a chance to really exhale and let it all process. So we saw it yesterday. It's a great point by you, and we saw it bear out with BYU Western Michigan.
Listen, the military academies and bowl games have been off the hook money.
Oh, yeah.
Off the hook
because
money.
They're disciplined.
Get this.
That's why.
33-13 against the spread in bowl games, going all the way back to 1981.
That's a phenomenal number.
But something that Steve Merrill, one of my regular guests, covers expert, prosportsinfo.com, Steve Merrill brought up. He said, yeah, but Gabe, out of all these games, 33-13 against the spread in bowl games, how many times were they 6-point favorites?
Yeah, they're right? Not a good favorite.
No, military academies are generally the underdog in these bowl games. Yeah. But I got to tell you, man, these kids from Houston, disappointing season. Their best players worried about going to the National Football League, and he should. That coach is a jerk anyways. I have no respect for that coach. They lose their quarterback.
Right.
Oh, great, great, exciting bowl. We're not even leaving the state. You're from Houston. You're getting on a bus, and you're driving to Fort Worth, Dallas. That's a lot of fun. And you're playing against Army, a viciously good Army football team that's frothing at the mouth for another bowl win in a Armed Forces Bowl.
Yeah.
There's going to be nothing but cadets.
And like they won.
Sir. It's like, you're Houston. We've talked about it with the pros that have been here. Garns and, you know, we'll get Marshall's take later, hopefully, on this. In that these kids on Houston, they're not going to have fun trying to tackle these kids on Army because they don't stop Army, right? Yeah. This is the last football game in a lot of these kids' lives on Army. And, oh, yeah, how about this? Army, 23 players from the state of Texas.
Wow. Mm.
23 players from the state of Texas, guys.
Right.
And Monken even said, when we come to Texas, we're here to recruit and win.
Yeah. We'll get into that game. It's safe to say that you're on an Army today.
I'm worried about the six, and I'm worried about the public.
I'm on Houston.
You got to quiet down, or we're going to be laying 11 before we get to kickoff. Settle down here.
Well, here's the other thing. I mean, we're a week away now from the college football playoff games. Two big battles.
Wow,
I've been breaking down, you know, the videos that we've done on both of these games. I know Oklahoma has a great offensive line, and we saw Orlando Brown.
Joe Moore Award they just won.
Orlando Brown, he bombed at the combine in Baltimore. He could be Rookie of the Year the way he's playing. All I hear from Oklahoma fans, we have the best offensive line. I get it. You have a good offensive line. But when we broke this game down, if your money's on the line and you need to get 1 yard, are you going to go with Alabama's offensive line going up against Oklahoma's defensive front, or you're taking those five NFL caliber players of Oklahoma and going up against Alabama's defensive front seven led by Raekwon Davis for 1 yard? Where's your money?
Always on Alabama.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, there's no question about it.
Can we stop already? Can we just stop? We get Oklahoma's a very good team, but it's apples and oranges in terms of the physicality that they play in the Big 12 as opposed to the SEC. I'm sorry.
I got a number for you. I you know, the fun part about having multiple weeks to prepare for one game, and next week we'll really get into it because next Saturday are the two semifinal games. I've started to really dig into some numbers. There are two teams in the country, 130 teams, two teams have gotten quarterback pressures on more than 40% of their defensive downs. Care to guess who those teams are?
Clemson and Alabama.
There you go. it's so elementary sometimes. So, you know, 40% of the time, Kyler Murray's fantastic. I like those backs. We've talked a lot about Kennedy Brooks and Trey Sermon after Rodney Anderson went down. But now you're going to be introduced to the Raekwon Davises, Isaiah Buggs. Quinnen Williams was an absolute beast this year.
Mack Wilson at the linebacker position.
Yeah, Mack Wilson, Anfernee Jennings. It goes on and on. So I think the entire dynamic of this game changes because now you're facing an opponent that you haven't seen before.
Now, I said, somebody asked me yesterday, you know, how can Oklahoma win? And I said the only way Oklahoma, in my opinion, could win is if they jump up early like they did against Georgia and force an up-tempo game to force Tua to beat them, you know, coming from behind. Not saying that they can't do it, Alabama, but traditionally,
Alabama,
that's what they do.
Alabama hasn't faced an offense like this, though. Alabama hasn't, we could talk, you could say Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
You say Oklahoma hasn't played the physicality. It's not like Oklahoma or a bunch of high school kids.
No, but Oklahoma, but Oklahoma plays a five wide type of offense in terms of they spread you out and they're going to get rid of the football.
Oklahoma's going to score, Joe.
Yeah,
they're going to score. The question is what does Alabama do on offense? Because, you know, look, you know, you're right. The physicality is going to be a lot. I imagine Alabama's going to be getting big chunks when they run the football. They're probably going to be able to play some ball possession. For me, I need to know what the quarterback situation is for Alabama to get a real feel for this game. But I'll tell you, and I've been against Oklahoma in big games.
We'll pick that up on the back end. When we come back, we'll be talking to Jamie Heath. Keep it where it is.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
On College Football Today, brought to you by BetDSI, Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello, Gabe Morenci, and Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk, breaking down all today's action. We're joined right now by Sports Brokers Vice President Jamie Heath. He's been with us all season long. He's been rock solid, giving out winners left and right. Jamie, how are you today?
I'm great, Joe. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well. The only thing, Jamie, is that all the favorites have been covering in these bowl games. I'm ready for the dogs to be starting to bark later today because, this is unbelievable.
There they are.
9-1 favorites straight up and 8-2 against the number. It's been Joe Public so far in these bowl in the bowl season so far. So far, the odds makers, I guess, have it right. They've, like I said, 9-1 straight up and 8-2 against the number. It's been overs pretty much primarily as well. So the public so far in the first 10 games have done very well with these bowl games.
I really like these games today. I know they're under the radar, but I like some of these teams. We see Memphis and Wake kicking off a little bit later. But this Houston-Army game has me intrigued. I mean, you look at a triple option attack. You look at Houston without their quarterback King and Ed Oliver. A lot of pressure on Major Applewhite to step up. I'm really intrigued to see how this game plays out.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. You know, two contrasting styles of offense, so to speak. Army loves to just possess the ball, hold the ball, pretty much limit possessions on the for the other team's offense. They've done it pretty much primarily all season. The one team that actually gave Oklahoma fits in Norman was Army this year. Contrast, Houston loves to run and gun. Obviously, missing King is huge for Houston. Their backup quarterback is pretty much getting thrown to a really good defense, actually. Army, surprisingly, his defense has played really well. Team speed, you got to give it to the Houston Cougars in this spot. The line's gone from 3 all the way to it's almost 7 right now on this Army game. So, you know, if you're a Houston backer, you might want to wait to kick off. If you're an Army backer, you might want to get down on that game before it hits 7. I honestly think that this game might be closer than a lot of people think. You know, Army just had their monster game against Navy, their huge game that they won. Now they got the Armed Forces Bowl again. They won this game last year against San Diego State. They might come in actually a little flat. I know that it's tough to say because Army cadets and the way Jeff Munkin's got his team prepared, they never are flat. But I could see Houston actually putting a little scare into this team today.
Yeah, I'm with you. So we'll see how that game plays out.
Jamie, no game makes those of us on the East Coast more jealous than the Hawaii Bowl tonight at 10:30 Eastern. We get to watch swaying palm trees.
I'm disappointed
sunshine.
It's not Christmas Eve or Christmas night for the lowly degenerate gamblers out there.
I used to love Christmas Eve Hawaii Bowl.
Yeah,
I miss that.
It was a hard time getting people to go to the game, though. At Hawaii, right? It's Christmas, so it'll actually be a better atmosphere on a Saturday night, to be honest.
It was kind of Saturday afternoon in Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 6-hour difference.
Yeah, they're used to it, though. That's when their home games are, right?
Yeah. No, nonetheless, I think it's a really interesting matchup. You've got Hawaii and Cole McDonald. Nick Rolovich did a good job with that team. Louisiana Tech comes in with a strong bowl history. How do you break down this game in Hawaii this evening?
Well, I'll tell you, Rich, first off, it's a home game, as we know, for Hawaii. It's the Hawaii Bowl, after all. And like you were just saying, this game usually falls on Christmas. Not this year. It happens to fall on a Saturday, like you guys were saying. Hawaii had a very nice, impressive season. Nobody before the season put Hawaii in a bowl this year. They figured they would have 3 wins tops. They ended up winning 8 games, I believe, which is really strong for a team like this. They ended the season off really well. They beat San Diego State in San Diego State. That might not look like such a great win after San Diego State just got shut out by Ohio. But nevertheless, Louisiana Tech, on the flip side, closed with 2 really bad losses. They lost to Western Kentucky, who was really awful this year, and they lost to Southern Miss, 2 teams that aren't even in the bowl picture. Whereas Hawaii actually played pretty well against teams that weren't in the bowls, and the teams that they played that were in bowls, by the likes of teams like Utah State, Fresno State, they all look very impressive in their bowls already. They've already came out with some convincing wins, and also BYU. They lost to BYU, so I'm actually leaning towards the home team in this spot. I normally don't like taking home teams in bowls. I mean, look at what South Florida did the other night. They laid a complete egg at home in a home game. But I think Hawaii's going to win this game. I really like Hawaii a lot in this spot.
I'm looking forward to this early game here with Memphis and Wake Forest, Jamie. And I'm having a hard time hearing you, Jamie, but I know you can hear me. So you look at this game, and Wake Forest, it's really all or nothing with Wake Forest, isn't it, guys? You know, they blast Duke 59-7, but they lose by 21 to Pitt. They beat NC State. They're 19.5-point underdogs. At NC State, they win the game outright. But then they lose. They lose at home by 17 to Syracuse. This Wake Forest team, it really is all or nothing. But I do know, Jamie, and we were talking earlier about trying to pretend to know about the motivating factors of these teams going into the bowl games. But Wake Forest is one team that desperately wanted to get to a bowl game. I think Memphis is a better football team than they are. But you got the ACC physicality. They should be able to win the battles in the trenches. What do you make of this Wake Forest-Memphis game?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Gabe, there's a lot of trends in this game that are favoring a certain team in this game. This happens to be my bowl game of the year. I love this game. So I really can't divulge who I'm going to give out on this game with you guys. I do love this game. Let's just put it this way. There are some statistics that really favor one side.
This is your blowout special of the bowl season so far.
I, wouldn't say I'm not going to say blowout special, but it's my game of the year and it's my bowl game of the year. I love this game, and it's actually starting in an hour and a half. I can't wait for this game to go because I really feel like I'm on the right side. It's actually the statistics and everything are 9-0 in the last nine times a matchup like this has taken place. So, you know, I'm going with all the trends in this spot. You know, I'm very excited about this game. You did make mention, obviously, Jekyll and Hyde with Wake Forest. They looked awful against Pitt, but then they come into Duke and just absolutely annihilate Duke. So you don't know which team you're going to get, obviously. The bettors are out there are scrambling. They don't know. But I'm telling you right now, I am absolutely in love with this game. I will tell you this. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. That I do say. The total 72.
I agree.
Yeah. I like the over in this game a lot.
I'm watching this. I always wonder.
Yeah, Jamie, Marshall's going to ask you a question. He wanted it.
Now? There we go. Hey, Jamie, Marshall.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just wondering.
Hey, Marshall.
I always think about this when I'm looking. When you see a team only giving one, what kind of advice do you give people when you see that? It always, when I look at it, I'm like,
the odds makers don't know, Marshall.
I'm like, yeah. Stay away from that game. Well, what advice you give to people?
Well, I'll be honest with you. You know something, Marshall? Sometimes when you see a line that's one, a lot of times the odds makers are way off, I feel. You know, in the case of, like, certain spots, I'll give you an example. First of all, the MAC conference this year, and I'm telling you what, they're awful. I knew the MAC conference is one of the weakest conferences in football. 1-4 straight up right now. Yes, they did get a cover with Eastern Michigan. The only team that really looked impressive was Ohio. I have no idea what happened to your alma mater in San Diego State the other night. They just didn't show up at all. But I'll tell you this. Buffalo is an intriguing team. Yes, the game's in Alabama, which is pretty much a home game for Troy. But I see Buffalo. I think Buffalo is a much better team. Arguably the best team that was in the MAC conference. They lost a heartbreaking game to Northern Illinois, which they were up 29-10. But I think the odds makers are off on this game, or I should say the betting public's off on this game, because the line opened up at 3. This game actually went Troy 1. Now it's creeping back up to Buffalo 1.5. I like Buffalo in this spot. I think Buffalo's going to win this game. I wouldn't be surprised if they win this game by at least a touchdown, if not by 10 points.
Wow. Yeah, and that's one game when I break it down today, that's my least favorite game of the board out of all four games this afternoon. But what you mentioned, your college football bowl special package. Why don't you tell fans what they can pick up today in about an hour and a half?
Absolutely, Joe. We have our college bowl game of the year. Yes, it is the Wake Forest-Memphis game. Absolutely love this game. We want you to call 1-800-220-6262. Visit our website. Join our website, thesportsbrokers.com. This is a 9-0 trend that we absolutely love on this particular game. Again, give us a call, 1-800-220-6262. Visit our website. Join our website, thesportsbrokers.com. We're going to turn outcomes into incomes today for sure.
Jamie, when I looked at these matchups, and obviously we talked about the favorites covering early, Joey Chalk, he's riding a Cadillac down 86th Street because all he does is, you know, pick the favorites. But when you look at this now, I think we saw FIU come through, even though BYU did get the victory as a favorite yesterday. I think if we get some underdogs, you from a betting perspective, we might see a quick 3 or 4 game run in terms of to even it out, because every bowl year when you break it down, it does seem to go in ebbs and flows, favorites to underdogs. Do you feel that way as well?
I mean, not only do I feel that way, Joe, in the last 5 years, or I don't know, for as long as I've been betting, which has been for God knows, it's been 25, 30 years I've been doing this, I've been always with the dogs. I'm a contrarian when it comes to this, and I'm usually looking to take dogs in spots like this, and especially in bowls. A lot of times you see the dogs win outright. We talked about this last week. Not only do I like to take the dogs, but I like to take the dogs on the money lines. So
well, it's almost like the points, exactly. Like, you know, yesterday.
Right.
I sprinkled on FIU, but I took them on the money line. Similar situation. I'm not even going to, why am I going to bother taking 3 points with Wake Forest? They're either going to get blown out or they're going to win the game. Well, that's the way I look at it. We talked about it last week, though, guys. These bowl games, it's rinse and repeat every year, and we all act surprised every year, including myself, because I'm an idiot. But last year, basically about 75% of the bowl games were blowouts, especially the early ones. And, you know, Joe asked when the games would get closer and the underdogs would start covering, when the teams get better. You know what I mean? When you start to get into the holiday bowls around the December 27th, 28th, you actually have competitive teams and good teams. And the most dog-laden day, you got to bet underdogs in NFL, favorites in college, all right? Not a lot of underdogs cover in college. But if you want underdogs, it's that January 1st when you get that SEC Big Ten day. All those Outback Bowls and Citrus Bowls and all that crap, those are all the close ones.
That's when Central Florida takes the field, and Central Florida has been a great underdog in these bowl games, going back to the time when they played Baylor, and they were about a 14, 15-point underdog, and they beat them outright. So you're right, Gabe. When the matchups get better, you know, you got the SEC Big Ten matchups coming up, a lot of those matchups, and you're going to see some dogs win, I feel, too. But, again, you never know which team shows up in these bowls. In a lot of these early games, you're seeing some blowouts. Obviously, certain teams just aren't there to play, and certain teams are there to play. Obviously, BYU wasn't there to play in the first half. They were down 10-7 in that game, and they just absolutely rolled Western Michigan in the second half. And the kid for BYU was 18 of 18, which is ungodly numbers.
Jamie, I want to take a look a little bit into the week of games. We won't have a chance to talk again until next Saturday. There's some interesting matchups. What's your general take when it comes to coaching situations? I know it's not one size fits all, but you've got some interesting scenarios such as Paul Johnson retiring, coaching for the last time against Minnesota. You have an interim coach for Temple and Ed Foley versus Duke. You have other situations like, exciting scenarios where, like, Jeff Brohm for Purdue is back when they thought he might be gone. Or, you know, right. Same scenario with Dino Babers in Syracuse. What's your take on coaches and that impact? It's very different than the regular season now that we're in bowl games.
Well, Rich, you know, we kind of touched on this last week, too, when you had two coaches that left their programs, one being Appalachian State, the other one being Utah State, and you saw what both those squads did. They both annihilated their opponents, where on the flip side, you saw North Texas's coach sticking with North Texas, and they got blown out. So, you know something, I'm starting to really put a little bit less on the coaching aspect of it and more on the players. Like, for instance, when you got West Virginia not having their star quarterback playing coming up against Syracuse, and that game with Dino Babers, I think that's a monster game for Dino Babers. I really loved Syracuse actually getting the 7.5. Now you're looking at a game that's a pick 'em. I think Syracuse is going to win that game. Hopefully, when we talk about that the next Saturday, I'm all happy about Syracuse. But you're right. You know, there's certain teams. You got Jeff Brohm with Purdue. They're going against Auburn. Auburn's still favored, even though Stidham's not playing in that game. So I'm looking more so as star players not playing to go against those slots as opposed to going against coaches or interim coaches, because right now it looks like the coaching doesn't really equate to wins and losses as much as the actual players on the field.
Jamie, say that number again, because we're about an hour and a half away from that Wake Forest-Memphis game. It is your college football bowl game of the day. We don't want fans to miss out. Tell them what they can pick up today.
Again, you go. You give us a call, 1-800-220-6262. We're going to get you started off with an absolute winner. 12 o'clock Eastern time game, Wake Forest-Memphis, our bowl game of the year. 1-800-220-6262. Visit our website. Join our website, thesportsbrokers.com. We will turn this outcome into an income today.
Jamie, great insight and information as always. We can't wait to see you next week with your college football bowl game of the year as well. Good luck today. We hope you knock them dead.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Thanks, guys. And I can't wait for next Saturday. Talk to you later, and good luck to you guys as well.
Happy holidays, Jamie.
Happy holidays, Jamie.
Hey, Merry Christmas to everybody as well. Got it.
You too. And that's a big point that he brought up. Marshall, you played in these bowl games, and it's hard to judge sentiment. It's hard to judge motivation. go walk fans through what's going through a college football player's mind as they prepare for these bowl matchups.
When it's your let's say it's your first, you're excited. I mean, you're elated. If it's your last, you wanna make sure that it's a good memory. The thing that you guys got into that I love, and you have to think about it from a strategic point as to the advantage that you have when a coach leaves, whoever takes over, whether it's an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, they kind of become empowered and they don't have to answer to anybody. Right. You don't know, are they going to call the game the same? Are they going to call the game different? Are they going to go against what their tendencies are? Because are they calling the game because the head coach says, hey, we want to attack them in the run game? Offensive coordinator might feel like, you know what? We could pass on these guys. Head coach wants me to run, we're going to run. Tendencies are now off.
Right.
And
makes it tougher. You're right. I'm not sure. And a new guy, the interim coach, will say, screw it. We're going for it.
Exactly.
I don't care. I'm going for it.
It changes everything. Right. And you can get one side of the ball just infused because they maybe were doing things totally different. And if you're the team on the other side, you're like, I'm going to go to pro, but like the Cleveland Browns, you had no idea how Kitchens was going to call plays. You couldn't find the book on when he called plays. And now you're just playing straight up. No tendencies, no nothing.
Marshall, I brought it up with Josh Johnson coming in. You don't know what he's going to do.
You have no idea.
He's going left, he's going right. Yep. You don't know what he's going to do, right?
Yeah. We'll talk about that on the back end. When we come back, we'll be breaking down Wake Forest and Memphis. Keep it where it is.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
We are back on College Football Today, just 3 days away from Christmas, and just about an hour till the start of the Birmingham Bowl. But before we talk bowls, I want to talk to you a little bit about mybookie.ag. Are you at the game, or you just got a gut feeling? No problem. Now you can bet from anywhere, anytime, with the all-new MyBookie mobile betting platform. With the MyBookie mobile platform, you'll enjoy the safety and convenience of at-home betting when you're on the go. Try it out today and you'll never miss another winning bet. Head on over to mybookie.ag and open an account with the promo code FNTSY, and MyBookie will match your deposit up to $1,000. That's 2-for-1, Joe.
Great.
2-for-1 deal. That's right, $1,000. Anything up to $1,000, they will match it, which is fantastic. Put in a grand, you're going to be able to bet $2,000. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. It's a great deal.
Yeah, I would take that offer.
It's a good deal.
Yeah.
And
Two for one.
I feel great about one game today. It's not so much the Wake Forest-Memphis game. The reason why I'm not so... I love Wake in this game, but because Dortch is out, I think that's going to put some pressure. He's got a finger injury, and if you haven't noticed, Darrell Henderson out for this game for Memphis. He's out, will not play. He's opted for the NFL draft. Greg Dortch, leading wide receiver for Wake Forest, out, finger, will not play in this ball game. So that's a lot of pressure on Jamie Newman, the freshman quarterback, and now Sage Surratt, who's second on the team in terms of receptions.
Big receiver.
I can see. Now, Jamie has said that there'll be a lot of points, and I can see that. You have a Memphis team that's still averaging 285 rushing yards per game. They're passing for 245 through the air with their quarterback, Brady White. And you have on the flip side, you have a ground-and-pound type of Wake Forest offense. They're balanced. They're rushing for around 191 yards per game, passing for over 200. But two big play running backs, you have Cade Carney and Matt Colburn for Wake Forest. To me, that is the difference, the physicality on the offensive and defensive lines. But why I can see a lot of points, because the weakness of Wake is their secondary, giving up 273 passing yards per game they've allowed, guys. 25 total passing touchdowns and have only forced 5 interceptions. And that's why I think you'll see a lot of points, because Memphis should attack that secondary over the top.
Yeah, and Memphis's weakness is what? It's defense.
Yeah.
You know, good offenses can beat this Memphis defense. That's been the case for the past couple of years. It's going to be interesting to see what happens without Dortch. I like Surratt a lot. He's not Dortch. Dortch is a game breaker. He could take the top off of a defense. That's not Surratt. He's more of a dinker and a dunker, big kid. Built more like a tight end, but he's a young kid, and he's getting better as the season goes on. I'm glad you brought up the backs. That's the difference to me. You got a lot of physical between the tackle backs. Carney, Colburn, and then on Memphis's side, no Darrell Henderson, as you mentioned, Joe, but Patrick Taylor now, 220 pounds, different type of a running back for that weak defense. So I think there will be a lot of points. Dave Clawson's been good in bowl games.
Yes.
Won both of his bowl games. I like Wake outright in this game, regardless of what the line is. I think the Deacons go out and get that victory.
I look at it, I just go, no Dortch. You have no Dortch. You got no Henderson. Which one meant more to their team? And what do you, well, you know, we look at the pass happy, and then we think about the running game. I just feel like with Memphis, Henderson, they're going to miss Henderson more. It's harder to get a guy to fill in for what he meant and what he did for that team. That's going to be his 1,900 yards and 22 touchdowns will be missed.
You see, and that's what I wanted to ask you from the football aspect, because I think when you look at Memphis's offense, what made them so explosive, averaging, was that they had Taylor and they had Henderson at both times. So at every time, they had fresh legs in the backfield. Now, with Taylor taking a bulk of the load, he's not going to be as effective, possibly, without Henderson in the lineup.
Regardless of what Taylor did, I felt like Henderson was the guy. Yeah. And he made you commit that extra guy in the box that you didn't want to, and it opened up their passing game. It's going to be interesting to see how they throw the ball without having that extra guy in the box. Now, they can play even. They can play coverage, maybe try to stop you with 6 in the box. I can't wait to see how this game plays out, but I just can't. You don't replace 1,900 yards and 22 touchdowns.
Yeah, Gabe, I mean, the only concern, I guess, for the over is that Dortch is not there. So now they're going to double-team Surratt. So will he be as effective in terms of that scenario? That's the only concern why I would take Wake more than I would take the over. But I still think a lot of points in this ballgame.
I'm a little bit concerned of Wake. I brought it up with Jamie Heath in a sense. And I'm on Wake Forest already. I got him last night at plus 145 on the money line. But it's all or nothing with these guys.
Yeah.
You know, they blew out Duke. They got blown out by Pitt. They won as 19.5-point underdogs against NC State. They lost by 17 to Syracuse. They've had a ton of injuries, man. 13 injuries over the years, season-ending injuries for this football team. Both these defenses are bad. I think, you know, it's hard not to bet the over in this game at 72.5. I mean, what's Wake Forest is ranked 116th defensively? You know, you got a problem when your defense is worse than Memphis's, right?
Yeah.
Memphis ain't exactly known for stopping people. But I think and we talked about it earlier, I don't know. We can pretend, oh, this team wants it more and this, I don't know. But I know that Wake Forest really was desperate to get into a bowl game. And I think Memphis might be a little disappointed right now. A lot of heartbreaking losses. They lost that Conference USA Championship game. A weird call.
Right.
You know, there's been a lot of heartbreakers along the way with Memphis. I think they might be a little bit worn out. I think Wake can sort of will themselves to victory. And I'm looking at you talk about it. The ACC team in the trenches, I think they could just sort of, they can win more battles in the trenches than lose. And it'll add up to a Wake win.
Yeah, and the one statistic that is glaring in the AAC champion in the championship
was
game.
Was it AAC? I forget. All these stupid new conferences. No. Yeah.
The championship game was 350 rushing yards allowed, 6 rushing touchdowns to UCF.
Yeah.
So now you have Cade Carney, you have this physical offensive line. That's my one concern. This is a defense statistically that's only given up 169 per game. But if Wake starts running downhill, and that's the one thing that Dave Clawson has done there, is he's built the physicality on the in the trenches, offensive and defensive lines. Going to be a long day. And I go back to that game last year against Iowa State with Matt Campbell. Similar type of offense as Wake Forest. Very physical at the point of attack. They wore them down and, more importantly, controlled that offense with Riley Ferguson. And, more importantly, Norvell did not have that team up in that that ball game. So that's why I lean to Wake Forest as well in this.
Is every bowl game in Alabama this year?
Well, most of them are because, you know, weather-wise. You know,
it's kind of a weird place to have every bowl game. Like, say every damn day I look up, this one's in Birmingham. Montgomery, Birmingham. Like,
no pro team. They don't have to worry about any conflict.
Yeah, good point. They got open stadiums, right?
High school football's over. Perfect.
I like Wake.
Yeah,
I like Wake in a high-scoring game. I could see this being the most entertaining game of the day. And Wake Forest, maybe 41-38.
Yeah, Jamie Newman, to me, has come on. I mean, it's going to be... I'm intrigued to see who wins that battle now, because you have the freshman Jamie Newman, you have the freshman Sam Hartman. Does one of those guys leave next year? That's interesting as well.
Well, Newman reminds me his style of play reminds me a little bit of Daryl Mack. I'm glad you brought up the UCF Memphis game. Newman can make plays outside of the pocket, big bodied, still developing as a passer, but similar to Mack in that AAC championship game. Mack was the one who had three of those rushing. I think it was three rushing touchdowns, six total in that game. So he might be able to have a performance similar to what Daryl Mack did of UCF.
Yeah. Let's go to the game of the year. My game of the year for the bowl season today. You know, for today, the Armed Forces
Bowl.
So you
mean the game of the day?
Game of the day, game of the year. Well, I'm all over Houston. I'm throwing it out there now. Army, I know, statistically, better team. They're averaging 293 rushing yards per game, 70 passing yards per game with Kendall Hopkins at the helm. He does have 12 rushing touchdowns. Darnell Wolford, that guy, I mean, unbelievable. He's a blocking type of fullback, 13 rushing touchdowns as well. But I look at the speed of Houston as being the difference. This is still an offense, rushing for over 200, passing for over 300 as well. And I'll say this, guys, I wasn't sold with Ed Oliver in that lineup in terms of a physicality when he was there. I know he was banged up, but this still was a defense allowing 197 rushing yards per game. They allowed 925 down the stretch over the last 3 weeks, Rich. 16 over the last three games, rushing touchdowns, 5.3 per game. But I think the 3 weeks, they're rested, they're better, and more importantly, Major Applewhite needs to win this game after dropping his last two bowl games.
That's actually one of my notes in front of me. It's Major Applewhite.
I read yours before.
Major Applewhite. Where does it say it? Major Applewhite needs this bowl game. Yeah. I actually wrote down because I think he's done a below average job so far.
I agree.
It was a program that under Tom Herman was looking like a national entity, where UCF is right now, where Boise State was in the past. You touched on one number as to why I like Army, which is over the last three games of the regular season, I think you had brought up yards per carry. The raw numbers were 925 yards allowed on the ground. Now they have to face Hopkins and Wolfolk and Jordan Asbury in that Army run game. That's a problem for the Houston defense. The speed, I think, gets neutralized here because Army, number one in the country in time of possession. Houston, dead last in time of possession.
So 38 minutes, Army, hang out of the football game.
And it kills you.
38 minutes again.
It can stifle an opposing offense sitting on the sideline watching the 12, 13. Yep.
How frustrating is it watching?
You're just sitting there.
Because as a better marshal, I bet on over sometimes, and you're watching the clock tick. As a player, do you watch? It's like, God, man, it's just going fast, right?
Tick, tick, tick. It is demoralizing. You're sitting there, you're watching, and then you're out of rhythm. You take the field, don't go 3-0. Now, the pressure for you to not go 3-0 because your defense just came off the field of a 12-15 play, and it's grueling. It's a grueling 15-play drive.
And then the defense gets mad at you guys on offense. You guys went 3-0. We got to go out there again.
If you haven't faced Army or you haven't played a team that runs the option the way that they do and how they grind you out, it'll take its toll.
And not one of those kids on Army is going to take a play off.
No.
That's the thing. Every inch, right? They fight for every damn inch, man. Like, if you're on Houston, you got to put your big boy pants on this morning, Joe.
They're putting them on because I do have a reason why I like Houston.
They beat Navy the last 2 years.
Well, they beat Navy. And that's
I'm
the way,
reading
as
your
you
notes
know,
now. No, I'm kidding.
It's a good point. Army, you play these military academies every year. You're right.
It's not like they haven't played the triple option, so they know what to expect from a defensive aspect. But as you know, to the way you have to beat the triple option, you have to jump up first to force them to play from behind. If they jump up 14-0, it's lights out because they're no longer running.
If the game is close, you cannot.
It's over.
You can't have a triple option team in a one score game. Right. Like they will, and don't let it be one score in their favor. They'll grind you out.
Yeah.
You start watching the clock. You, as a coach, you're like, are we going to get the ball?
Yeah. This is an Army team that gave Oklahoma all they can handle.
Yeah.
And when I think that's been underrated. I mean, that was a 7-point overtime game. I think we dismiss that sometimes, you know, because we figure.
Probably the most least talked about big game of the year, to be honest.
It wasn't televised. That's why it was barely televised on national
TV. It would have gone down as one of the great upsets.
Especially like, you know, a military academy, Army. After all these years, like a military academy getting a big win like that or taking them to the wire, especially being Army. You know, we got used to Navy being good for a couple of years. But
even Air Force, if you go far enough back, you know, to the Ken Hatfield days, early Troy Calhoun, we expected Air Force to be, you know, right there, 8 wins every
season. Well,
in your
day, Marshall, Air Force are pretty good, right?
Always, always. I think back to when I was.
So you would know. You played against Air Force.
It was D. Dallas was like.
D. Dallas.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This guy.
D. Dallas. Number
exactly
four.
What I'm saying. Would eat up the clock on you. Would eat up the clock. We get on the field. It was like, we have to score. You start to feel like you have to score. And another thing about Army. Army, in their triple option, they do some things different. Like I watched that Army Navy. It's like their option and how they run it and what they do.
Munkin's a tricky coach. Bro.
They have Munkin some counters. They have some counters off of their option that I've never seen. And I've watched a lot of option. I mean, I grew up running an option in high school. I've never seen some of the things that they do with the counters and how they run the option when they run the fly motion and how they get started and they get you going different ways. It is tricky. And if you are, it's almost like, and this is how they beat Navy. They want you to kind of know what they do so they can counter off you. And that's how they got Navy. They tendency Navy to death.
Yeah, and what's more important? I'm always curious. Obviously, we know it's the quarterback, but how important is the dive back in
important.
That offense?
The dive back and his willingness to just run into a brick wall.
Yeah,
that's like I love that kid. As a dive back. Yeah. When nothing's there, you still got to hit it.
I imagine how mentally taxing it must be to be a linebacker today on Houston. It's all decisions. It's not really. A lot of times, all right, see ball, go to ball, right? When you're playing this, Marshall, and you can correct me,
dude,
you got to watch and you got to guess. You got to know, all right, they're going here. And if not, you're going to look stupid.
It's assignment football. Keep your eyes on your fries. And the ground is hot. The ground is hot means you're going to get cut, get up, and run after the ball.
Yeah.
Because that's what they want to do. They're going low. They want to get you on the ground because now the option flanks you and it creates creases. And it doesn't matter if the contain or the field goal is out there. If you don't have pursuit against the option,
imagine these Army O linemen too, just chirping, they running people over, just not stopping.
They're at your ankles.
I have a lot of respect for these military.
265 pounds
at your ankles. They get you on the ground. That's their job. Get them on the ground.
Yeah.
If they get you on the ground versus the option. You're going
to
lose.
So he said, Rich, point spread up to 12 now. Yeah, we're talking. We're getting everyone fired up on Army.
Exactly. It's double digits.
Well, I mean, I could see Army winning. The one thing I think if you're looking at Houston, you want those wide receivers, Corbin, Stevenson.
Yeah.
And if Lark does play, now you're going to have three wide receivers attacking that Army defense that's only giving up 180 yards per game, but they don't force a lot of turnovers. 16 touchdown passes allowed, 5 interceptions. So I expect Houston to have opportunities and possessions to score. Now it falls on Toon's hands. But more importantly, I'll give Applewhite the mulligan for 2 years ago with San Diego State because he was a coordinator after
interim
left. But last year against Fresno State, they came out flat in that
horrible
matchup.
Effort. Yeah, was that the Hawaii Bowl?
Yeah, that was the Hawaii Bowl.
Here's another thing, and I was just thinking back to when we played Air Force and what it was like. When you get ready, you're getting ready for a bowl game. There's all this pent up animosity that you have because you're going against your own teammates. You just want to play someone else. When you're playing against one of the armed forces, you can't even trash talk them. I mean, it's like it's kind of hard to get up.
Right. You have to be respectful.
And I can only imagine in a bowl game compared to like a regular week to week. Yeah, it's a respect thing because they're going to shake your hand and tap you on the butt and compliment you when you do. You can't even get upset.
Yeah. We'll be talking about Buffalo and Troy live from Studio 34. Don't turn away. Come right back.